I'd like to call this Council and Budget Committee meeting to order. And Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of Council are present except for Councillor Butler, who will be joining us later. She's at a work commitment.
Thank you. There are no announcements, no addendum. Any disclosures of pecuniary interest? There being none, then I will hand the chair over to the Chair of the Budget Committee, Councillor Nutt.
Thank you very much, Your Worship. We're going to be beginning tonight with the water and wastewater operating budget, and our first item of business is a presentation by John Jansen, Director of Corporate Services.
Thank you very much. This is the second step tonight in the 2017 budget process, the focus being tonight on the water and wastewater budget, as reported in CBC 03-2017. As well on the agenda tonight is the fees and charges report that will be considered later in CBC 02. So for an overview of the presentation, we'll just a recap of the budget timetable, a look at the service delivery objectives, which are the key services that drive the budget. We'll then review the budgeted costs and look at the rate setting exercise, as well as related risks and opportunities for 2017 and beyond. So as shown previously, these are the dates as Council has agreed to for the 2017 budget. For tonight's water and wastewater budget, the related bylaw would go to Council January 23rd. That's a proposed date at this time, pending the 2017 schedule. And then the other operating budgets and presentations follow in January and February. So to highlight some of the overall service objectives of our water and wastewater utility, it's been condensed a bit this year from prior years as Council is more aware of the operational activities within water and wastewater from previous sessions. All staff, of course, are committed to a reliable system of service delivery that provides for safe drinking water. We've spoken many times in the past of the requirement for a full cost recovery system. To that end, we have some financial obligations that the town has fulfilled over the last number of years. Most recently in 2015, finance staff prepared and submitted a six-year forecast for the province in meeting some of their full cost recovery requirements. And the intent of having a full cost recovery system is to avoid deferring burdens to future generations. Of course, quality of life would be impacted by the water utility. The service objectives do focus on protection of natural environment, eliminating basement floodings and sewer backups associated with extraneous flow issues, and as will be more of the focus tonight, cost control and cost minimization in collaboration with long-term financial planning. This slide just highlights some of the responsibilities that you as council, municipal officials, bear. This involves maintaining compliance and continuous improvements of our QMS, or the quality management system. Council has been provided with a publication by the ministry called Taking Care of Your Drinking Water, a guide for members of municipal councils. And this piece highlights some of the roles of council in relation to the utility. As well, recently in September, council was part of a presentation by the Walkerton Clean Water Center that did training on standard of care in relation to council's role. And that was a good opportunity for council to be educated on that and as well ask any questions of the presenter. This graph helps to, helps in advance of setting the rate of showing the extent of those in staff and in operationally who are involved with the utility. The water bill is supported by both corporate and community services through the monthly billings with the billing and collections division in corporate services, as well as customer service and IT support through digital services. The infrastructure services team led by Mr. Walsh includes the engineering and capital components, and then as well, of course, the water and wastewater division and their operations, maintenance, and compliance work. This is a graphic we've used for several years to demonstrate the all the different various inputs in the cost to deliver water and wastewater services to customers. The challenge again is to recover all of these input costs through the rate and through the revenues and keep rates affordable. And you can see in this one, beginning at the top left, you have the water source. In traveling through the system, you have the different treatment, supply, storage, and distribution of the water, ultimately ending up in the bottom right there, and just the inclusion of different sized families, being the family of five and the grandmother, go to show that all of those costs along the way are equal for any household, regardless of how many live in that home or what's being consumed. The infrastructure costs are the largest costs. So some of the operational commitments of the utility, legislative compliance clearly is a big issue for the town. Conformance and maintenance is required for accreditation to run the utility. Council will recall that we reviewed and updated the water bylaw earlier this year, and similar efforts are in place for 2017 to update the sewer bylaw as well. The town, as part of meeting legislative requirements, is subject to internal audit. The town has some trained staff that are able to perform internal audit of the system, both the operational plan and the actual operations. The town is also subject to surveillance audits by an accreditation body, and as well as compliance audits with the Ministry of Environment. Reducing non-revenue water volumes, these are efforts that certainly underscore the need for investment in our capital. About a quarter of our distribution system involves older cast iron pipe, and that pipe is deteriorating at a rapid rate, and so we need to continue to invest in replacing those by way of example. For 2017, we're proposing to spend $20,000 to hire a consultant to do soundings on the system to determine leak locations on both the region and town systems as well. Then town will know from our recent capital budget as well that we have an annual water meter exchange program. This helps us through the newer technology and having the most up-to-date meters, ensuring that billings are as accurate as possible, because there is degradation involved with the meters over time. And as well, leak detection and repair programs. Every identified leak, whether it be water mains or other leaks, are a priority and are addressed immediately by our staff, and those efforts are aggressive in trying to minimize any of those impacts. Similarly, on the sewer side, reduce infiltration to the sanitary sewer system. We're committed to reducing the infiltration that we have. This has been a long-term issue, so capital investment to that system is needed. In particular, we have a large number of old vitrified clay sewers, which contribute to the infiltration. So we're continuing to prioritize completing replacement of that type of capital. Recently, we've completed some works on Waterloo and Catherine Streets, which should result in real reductions in infiltration confirmed through pre- and post-monitoring. For extraneous flow, the town has annual targeted areas. This includes visiting the sewer shed and involves as well staff inspecting homes and their plumbing systems to look for any possibilities of contributions to infiltration, or sorry, to cross connections. And we do video inspections of the area and in an attempt to address all those issues. The last component here on this screen is to leverage funding opportunities. That's something that we pursue wherever possible, both on the operating and the capital side. The region has a CSO program that the town is quite involved in making sure we're getting the maximum share we can for that program. The 2017 program is just being finalized, and we haven't included any operating amounts for 2017, but certainly if and when we do, we'll be prioritizing that funding opportunity. As well, as noted in the capital budget, the recent Clean Water and Wastewater Fund and Ontario Community Infrastructure Fund both are eligible for water and wastewater projects. Some operational challenges of the utility include recruitment for new positions, such as the recently hired DWQMS coordinator, and as well as what we expect to encounter with upcoming retirements due to an aging workforce. Water main breaks are down significantly in 2016 due to the mild winter, but on the flip side, wastewater volumes are up as the ground was not frozen enough to limit extraneous flows. Given the winter forecast, we expect water main breaks to return to the normal rate of about 50 per year in 2017. As part of QMS, the quality management system, we have instituted a tracking system to ensure our legal requirements for the commissioning of new water mains is adhered to, which has created some minor challenges internally and externally as all become acquainted with the system. And then lastly, as we've heard previously as well, we're expecting legislation in 2017 to create a quality management system for the sanitary sewer system as well, similar to the drinking water system. So those are the operational highlights. We now switch into the financial components, and we try to make this as clear as possible, but the utility, of course, is made up of many fixed and variable inputs and many different assumptions in arriving at a rate setting. So we'll review in section one, expenses and other revenues, which are presented in three main areas. The regional treatment costs, this is the biggest component to our budget, and is billed to the town from the region. Changes for the town in 2017 are driven by our proportionate share of the volumes treated. Secondly, the town expenses for the operating system, including all costs shown in the early graphic of many departmental inputs to administer the service. And the supplementary budget is used to present any new items or changes to the allocations to and from the reserves. We'll then look at the rate setting, and with that, both customer volumes, which include projections for what we expect customers to purchase in 2017, and billing will consider the method that the costs are allocated, both through a base and the variable charge. This pie chart shows the breakdown of total 2017 budget expenses being $18.1 million. And this shows the source of the cost by area, and again just shows that the largest share, or 61% of the costs, are paid to the region. The total expenses of $18.1 million are higher than the actual rate revenues that we collect slightly, and that's noted in Appendix 2, and that's due simply to the fact that there are other non-rate revenues that the town does collect, such as local improvement charges, grants, and other user fees. As well, just to expand a little bit more, as mentioned earlier, the full cost recovery system. In keeping this as a separate isolated system, it means that the town does not have anything that is property tax based that's part of funding this rate. So the increase in the budget is $253,000 to start with the regional treatment costs, or 1.47% of the total budget. This reflects the changes that the region would have adopted at their recent November 17th meeting, and this includes their net combined increase of 0.8% to their water and wastewater budget, which is broken down. There was no increase to the water budget, but a 1.3% to the wastewater component. Increases in the town's proportionate share are what are driving more substantially the overall increase. The share of water volume is up just over 3%, and the share of the wastewater volume is up 6.74%. Included in the future five-year forecast for 2018 to 22 is a 2% annual amount increase for these regional treatment costs. And just to highlight how the region does determine the costs that they bill the lower tier municipalities, there's no change this year. So the water charge is a 75% variable and 25% fixed component. And the wastewater continues to be 100% fixed based on volumes from the past 3 years. Wastewater volumes charged from averages are reconciled to actual volumes in the third year. So this is why council recall that in the third year we're dealing with possibly credits. We haven't had a credit in, I think, 3 or 4 years, but otherwise charges in our case for the last few years. This method was recently agreed to by all the lower tier municipalities. It's not a perfect method, but it is the best option that was decided on in connection with the region and all the municipalities. And the 3 year does allow municipalities to save or to anticipate these changes over time. Just to note the last line there as well, it does say that with the information we have at this point, that for 2018, we're still in a charge position and budgeting an estimate of $500,000 for that year. For town expenses and other revenue, there's a combined increase of $113,000 or 0.67%. You can refer to Appendix 2 for the detailed breakdown of those items. With the other revenues, there's a couple revenue sources that are decreasing for 2017. The town did take advantage of the region's WaterSmart grant previously, and that's no longer an opportunity for the town. As well, that's offset by a slight increase in a new user fee that is in the other report tonight. Wages and benefits have been increased using estimates from similar municipal increases in the absence of a collective bargaining agreement and are budgeted to increase $16,000 apart from any supplementary staffing increases that will be discussed later. Increased overhead costs relate to general costs such as insurance and fleet. Decrease in debt charges is minimal this year at about $9,000. And a note as well, last year we did have some maturing debt, but in 2017 there's no debt that's maturing, and therefore there's not an opportunity on that side to increase our capital contributions as we otherwise would. Increased materials and services include a focus on the investigation of non-revenue water and extraneous sewer flows. Two key programs we like to continue are the Water Emergency Relief Fund and the Seniors Utility Relief Fund. These aren't proposed to change. The Water Emergency Relief Fund, or WERF, is budgeted for $15,000 and is available for low-income families. To date, we've paid out $10,000 in this current year to under that program. And then the SERP program is a $100 rebate for eligible low-income seniors, and a total of $19,000 has been paid out with that program this year. The total of all supplementary budget items is $240,000, or 1.4%. These are items requested in 2017 that are supplemental or not base. And really, it relates to two areas. The first is an increase to staffing for a new position for a water and wastewater supervisor. This is being phased in for 17 at $76,000, which then would in 2018 include the full 12-month rate. That includes both the wage and benefit components. As well, the wastewater rate stabilization reserve changes have resulted in an increase to the budget of $164,000 due to a $350,000 decrease in funding that we were previously using to fund the large reconciliation last year, as well as the use of $150,000 from that fund to stabilize the rates in 17. And as mentioned, there's no change in the capital or repurposed debt amounts and no changes to the contributions the town makes annually to these rate stabilization reserves. The capital budget was presented to council back on November 16th, and the preliminary portion of about $2.1 million was approved this last Monday night. Both the water and wastewater master plans are scheduled to be completed in 2017 and will identify priority replacement issues. Both are funded as well in part from development charges, and these are statutory charges set out and collected by the town that recover growth-related capital costs. Those will both as well then be used to update the asset management plan to refine the amounts as we did this last year for the bridge needs study. And so we'll be in a better position next year once those are finalized. This just shows that the annual allocations are not changing from 16 to 17. We're still at 70% of the what's now I think a 4 or 5 year old target reserve for this. So we're funding 70% of the targeted contribution with the current budget. I would note as well that the maturing debt that I noted that will be in 2018, that does pose an opportunity for the town to the extent that we can increase these reserve contributions as well. And just we do like to highlight the way that we use the rate stabilization reserves. We have come to depend on these, particularly with the regional swings in charges that we have through the reconciliations. It's particularly necessary due to the unknown regional budget increases, unknown proportionate share changes, which we highlighted earlier for this year, unknown future treated volumes that impact the reconciliation, and currently the wastewater rate stabilization reserve has a balance of $1.4 million. The water stabilization reserve has been emptied the last 2 years due to operational deficits, but we're expected to have a surplus in 2016, so that will return some funds to that reserve, which is well needed. So this chart just summarizes the total increases over 2016. The total net increase in costs is $607,549, or 3.53%, moving from roughly $17.2 to $17.8 million. So once the total costs that we need to recover are determined, the rate setting exercise determines how to generate the revenues to recover those costs. We do this by estimating customer consumption volumes on which the billings are based, and then we bill both a fixed or a base portion and a volumetric or a variable rate. This is the breakdown between the two components of the utility, both the water and wastewater billings. Wastewater billings representing 54%, water 44%, and 2% for the other revenues shown there. For 2017, a significant effort has been made to reduce consumption volume or to make consumption volume estimates upon which we base our rates more realistic. This responds to a longer-term consumption trend without unnecessarily focusing on single-year season changes such as we would have had in this year with a hot, dry summer. Water volumes for 2016 were based on a 3.55% reduction in what we expected to bill. This at the time was still not enough to reach the five-year average, but is lower in 2016 than projected actual volumes. For 2017, staff proposed an additional reduction to continue to keep pace with these trends. So we're proposing a 2% reduction in volumes, which gets us just below the five-year average. This is a similar slide for wastewater. You can see the efforts in reducing the volumes last year at 2.8%, and again now proposed for 2017, a similar decrease of 2% to narrow this gap with what we're actually seeing build out. So it's a balancing act for the town to determine how much to bill or price between both the base and volumetric components. The goal is, of course, that we operate on a full cost recovery system to have sufficient stable revenues while also balancing off issues of conservation and customer control. We're making strategic progress as a town toward a strategy of charging proportionately less to the base and making volumetric reductions as noted previously. And this helps to minimize the risk of revenue shortfalls that we would otherwise experience. The base charge reflects the fact that the majority of costs, as we saw in the screen that shows the cost to deliver to the customer from point 1 to point 11, the majority of the costs are fixed in nature, as most infrastructure costs do not change with the volume that's delivered. For example, about 90% of the region's cost to produce water is fixed, as costs of water treatment plants and pipes need to be covered regardless of how much they're used. The 2017 water and wastewater combined base rate is proposed to increase from $65.42 to $66.08, or 1%. The average base charge in Niagara is 43% of the total monthly bill, and you'll see municipalities have ranges all over the map of how they use the base rate. For the town in 2017, with this change, the base component would decrease to 58% of the average monthly amount, and this is planned progress towards reducing the 60% base component down to a lower 50% component. This is a chart that shows the number of service connections per kilometer of distribution pipe in Niagara from analysis, the most recent analysis, which was a few years ago. This is something we note on our website as well, just to show that this is a large contributing factor to our ability to recover those fixed costs that do not change with volumes. So in our case, the town has the second lowest number of connections per kilometer, and that's of course in part due to just the geography of Fort Erie and the number of widespread areas we serve. So this revenue challenge does mean in basic terms that residents do pay more for those infrastructure charges relative to those that have more customers in their system. St. Catharines at the far right would be approximately 90% more customers per kilometer, so a significant opportunity to recover those costs. And of course, as you move into the GTA and other higher density areas, that opportunity is much higher. Because we, as the town, do have a full cost recovery system, we don't always know where other municipalities fall in that requirement, but our water and wastewater rates tend to be or are at the high end of rates in Niagara. However, our tax rates are at the low end. So I think it's important, given that we have a full cost recovery system, that we look to the total municipal burden. This is a chart that we get from an annual municipal study done by BMA, and this shows that the town's total municipal burden is just below average in Niagara. The volumetric rate is a charge per cubic meter or 1,000 liters, and it's proposed to increase in 2017 from $2.721 per meter cubed to $2.947 per meter cubed. This is just above the Niagara 2016 average of $2.911. This slide, I'm not going to dwell on for too long. It's a lot of numbers, but it does show the detailed calculation involved in computing both the base and unit or volumetric charge. So you can see how all the different variables that factor into that type of calculation, where we're dividing the total costs. In this case, the water would have a slightly lower base component than the wastewater at 52%. But then it's divided by the number of accounts over the 12 months of the year to arrive at a monthly charge of $25.02 per month. And similarly, the per unit water charge being $1.35 per meter cubed. This is the same chart for wastewater, showing the total base calculation of the $41 per month and the per unit charge of $1.597. So when we look at all the recommended or proposed changes for 2017 for the average household, we use 16 cubic meters per month as the basis for that. The overall increase, you can see in the third of four columns, is 3.93% year over year, or $4.28 per month. This is higher than the 1.5% inflationary index that was referenced in September's budget, but again, largely reflects the increases related to treatment costs. This is a bit of context. We've continued where the rate for water, inclusive of wastewater charges, is about a third of a cent per liter. So when you compare that to other household items on a per liter basis, you can get a picture of the scale of how other items cost. Most notably, bottled water, if you assume that you can buy that for 25 cents per liter, would be 85 times more expensive than town water delivered to your door. So the current increase for the average household of 3.93% here is compared to the previous 5 years. The average, and you can see the details of those by year. The forecast for 2018 to 2022 is generally estimated at about 1.75% per year. This excludes any future supplementary increases expected related to strategic capital increases, and as noted earlier, particularly with the regional treatment costs, the significance of unknown changes to that can have an impact on this. Some risks and opportunities. Some of these have been spoken about already, but weather, of course, this year was a particularly hot, dry summer, as you would know, and in particular, in contrast to previous years, we see that weather does play a large role in terms of overall use. Decreasing base charges and placing a greater reliance on the volumetric rates certainly has its own risks, as volume variances impact more the overall ability of the town to recover the costs. The regional treatment cost reconciliations we've discussed. There's an ongoing risk related to consumer base shifts, The presence of large consumers can have a notable impact on consumption. The volume that the town uses, by way of note at this point as well, does include an increase, an estimate for increased water accounts throughout the year next year. So that has been included in the rates. Legislative compliance, of course, continues to place an increasing burden on all municipalities. And the town residential rates are above the provincial average, due in part to, as noted, the low number of connections. However, the commercial and industrial rates continue to be less than the provincial averages. And there are some reserve concerns as well, where we are below the provincial average, and that's why we have some policy in place to target those and to make improvements to the long-term sustainability of the system. Some of the opportunities include infrastructure funding. Council may address the capital reserve funding gap further. And we estimate that every $195,000 increase in capital contributions would be approximately 1% rate increase. The town, as noted earlier as well, of course, has applied for various government grants where possible. So those have the opportunity, both on the capital and operating side, to allow other funding to return to the reserves. The meter changeout program was approved in the 2017 capital budget at $450,000, and this again just has improvements to our accuracy and better customer service. And some key financial indicators that compare favorably within the province show the age of and how much of the useful life of water and wastewater assets are. That's that asset consumption ratio line. As well, we are lower in our overall debt charges as a percentage of revenue. That's the end of my presentation. I turn it back to you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jansen. Again, thank you for another year of a riveting presentation for water and wastewater. We'll now open up the floor for questions regarding the presentation. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Chair. Through you to Mr. Jansen, I basically have just one question, to be honest with you, right at this moment. But on page 9, you were saying that you already recruited a coordinator, and that coordinator is going to be in charge of the new legislation that's going to come into play. Is that correct? That's not my real question, but yes.
Yes, that's yeah. Right, yeah.
Okay. My real question is that you have an aging workforce that you're expecting retirements. Is that expectation during the 2017 calendar year? Sorry, Mr. Walsh.
No problem. Through you, Mr. Chair. No, it's over the next few years. We do have a number of employees that will be fully eligible for retirement, whether they go or not. Is up to them, but it's a possibility that we have to consider.
So then that leads into my question from page 16. With the addition of the supervisor phased in at $76,000 next year, that's just bumping up the rate just slightly for the percentage that we're going to incur for the rates in 2017, but we're going to see that dissipate as the years go on because of those retirements then, correct? So you're going to hire someone next year at $76,000?
That's correct.
It's scheduled for 2017.
That's correct.
But with impending retirements going on in the future over the next few years possibly, that's going to reduce that cost, correct?
This is a complement increase, not a complement replacement proposed.
So then those retirements that are pending in the future, you would be replacing?
Correct.
Okay, I see. Thank you.
The Chair recognizes Councillor Passera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Jansen. Page 34, the rate history and forecast, notes two things. Forecast for 2018 to 22 approximately 1.75% per year. And I just referenced that in context to a different slide, which said a 1% increase towards capital reserves would be about $200,000. Noting that the 1.75 is traditionally lower than what we've been looking at for forecasted increases, would we possibly look at tacking on that 1% going forward? Would still only take us to a 2.75, but get our capital reserve contributions up a little bit. Is that something we would consider for 2018 and beyond?
Through the chair to Councilor Passero. Yes, we don't typically include any increases of those capital contributions until we present them as a supplementary increase in the year. So that's why we do make the distinction between this with being our base rate increases and other increases. So yes, if we were to assume that we're increasing every year an additional 1%, then the rate would be 2.75%. Keep in mind as well that the other opportunity is our maturing debt. So in 2018, we have maturing debt of over $300,000 of annual costs. So that alone in itself, if that was applied to the capital needs, that would get us significantly further along.
Okay. I appreciate those comments. I'm all for, you know, keeping it as low as possible, but not if it's going to not get us anywhere. I note 2014. I can't remember what happened in 2014, but it's amazing that was a 0%. I believe I was against that at the time because it doesn't do us any justice, you know, for optics to say, yeah, we kept it really low, but in the long term, we're not making any headway. So I'm hoping that would be something that we consider next year in the fulsome context of everything else. If I could, Mr. Chair, could we ask Mr. Boutin to come forward? I have a
certainly
operational question I'd like to ask, just because it's one that I'm asked all the time.
Mr. Boutin.
Should be on now.
We must be with Verizon. Mr. Boutin, periodically I get calls from people that are questioning their bills because they don't believe that they're using as much water as they're using. And the one thing they always cite is, well, I have a really old water meter, so I think you're overcharging me. Can you speak to what happens with the degradation of a water meter?
Yes, actually this year we took the opportunity to send away a snapshot component of the meters that were exchanged in 2014 to an independent third party for testing to American Water Works standards to try to establish a degradation curve or not. And I can tell you the results came back from them, and we're going to prepare a summary report for Kelly that, yes, not just Fort Erie, but the industry is correct. The meters and the snapshot we took were some that were 20 years old, some that were 20 years old, some that were 15 years old, and we're going to analyze that data. Not a single meter over-registered. We knew that wasn't going to happen. But there was a very small percentage that under-registered. So to Jonathan's comments earlier and to Council supporting the water meter replacement program, we're losing money on older meters. There's no question about it. And we can demonstrate that now by this recent analysis. I mean, difficult to convince a customer. And what's driving some of that customer inquiries is the fact that, as you guys know, we're going through a residential meter exchange program. And if we changed out your meter that was probably under-registering, your bill is going to go up incrementally because now we're getting a real number with a new meter. And we just had two customers that we responded to with the results of that meter testing exercise and indicate to them that, in fact, was it. Just their old meter was borderline accurate, and your bills, of course, are going to go up accordingly. So the program's great, and then the revenues will be supported by the continuation of the replacement program.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Passero, the chair recognizes Councillor, Mayor, His Worship Mayor Redekop, and then I'll come to you, Councillor McDermott.
Thank you very much. Just to go back to the first point that Councillor Passero had raised, the $300+ that are going to be coming off debt servicing charges in the years going forward, that would be, if that was all allocated to infrastructure renewal, that's about another 1.6 to 1.7%, which means added to whatever it is we put in currently, which is how much?
This graph here shows the current contributions by water and wastewater.
So 320,000. That's another, that's a tenth of that. Gets us up to, I don't know, they get us up to 80%.
I could work that out. Yeah, it would be approximately, we'd go from 3.3, let's say, to about 3.6 of the 4.7. So I'm not going to do the math on the spot, but whatever that might be.
Okay. And if I could just go, I'll try not to mix this up with the questions that I've got regarding the report. But in terms of on page 9, page 9 talks about water main breaks. What is the average, annual average?
Mr. Chair, we get about 50 water main breaks a year average.
So according to this, then, in 2016, we would have had about 25?
Grant can confirm this, but I think we're lower than that right now.
2015 was a particularly bad winter, and so there would have been 100. And I'm just wondering whether, I know we have where the system hasn't been replaced, it's getting older. Where it has been replaced, it's new and presumably fewer water main breaks. Is there any reason to suspect that we will be higher in 2017 or lower, or does it all depend upon the weather?
Chair, thank you. It's almost entirely dependent on the weather. We have about 60 kilometers of cast iron water main in the ground. We're replacing about 2 kilometers per year. It's not a great percent. So obviously over the long term, we expect to see a reduction in breaks, but you know, from year to year, it's entirely dependent on the weather.
The last item on that page relates to the anticipated legislation regarding the sewer system. Do we have any idea what the cost implications of that might be?
No, we haven't done that, figured that out yet. We've only heard that they want the MOE wants to implement a QMS for the sanitary system. They haven't detailed any of the requirements yet, but one of the benefits of having a QMS coordinator on staff is that that person will guide that process.
Okay, so then in all likelihood we wouldn't need to hire an additional employee with respect to that.
No, one of the goals of that position was to address the pending system upgrades in the sewer system.
Right, and there are quality issues that we can address regardless of whether there's provincial legislation.
Absolutely.
The on page 10 says that the expenses and other revenues, A, regional treatment costs and volume estimates. Wouldn't that be more accurately, shouldn't that more accurately state volume use? Because our expenses are based on the actual amount of water that we're charged for, are they not? Not the estimates.
Through the chair to you, Mayor. The, on the cost side, we are estimating as well the total that we'll be treating. We're estimating in this budget $4.8 million in treated water billed to us by the region. So that number, of course, can be different than the amount that we're billing from our own customers.
Just so that I've got a better understanding of this, Appendix 1 of the report gives the budgeted amounts for 16, 17, and then forward to 2022. But it also talks about 2016 actuals. And since we're not at the end of 2016, are these just actuals to date?
That's right. It's a report right from our financial system with just year to date. That probably in the case of treatment amounts would be to the end of September. I don't know that it would have caught October.
So when the report or the presentation talks about projections. That's what we're anticipating if all things flow to the end of the year the way they have so far. Sure.
Sorry, if you could clarify that, which projections are you referring to?
The water and sewer. There's a projected water use of 2.99 million cubic meters for 2016, which is higher than what was budgeted.
That's right. In those cases, we are projecting amounts billed to the end of the year based on historical numbers for the last quarter.
And so if that happens, we actually make money.
In 2016, yes. And both on in 16, you may remember from the third quarter variance report that recently came forward, there's a few factors contributing to the 2016 surplus, but a revenue surplus is part of that. And I would estimate that as anywhere from $120,000 to about $150,000 in revenue surpluses from 2016.
And does that surplus go into the water stabilization fund?
Yes, it does. Yeah, we've used that reserve over the last few years. In fact, we had to dip in a couple of years to the capital reserves as well to fund the deficit.
Which is what you mentioned, that we'll have some money that will be in the water stabilization reserve fund. Still on page 10, when you were talking about town expenses, you were talking about the system. And that would have a number of components, the metering part. It would have the actual meters themselves. It would have the reading of the meter. And then it would have the accounting function related to calculating the rate usage fee. Do we have any idea what that costs? What the meter aspect of the whole operation costs, from the physical meters through to the documentation, paperwork, calculations, what have you?
That's something we could assemble. We have a water meeting reading contract amount. We assign overhead costs based on percentages, typically in accordance with some of the provincial guidelines. But we don't have that. I don't think we've prepared that before, but we could come up with an estimate of that cost.
Not necessarily advocating that. I'm just curious because it's all part of what's percolating around in my head. And then if I might, Mr. Chair, on page 12, when we're talking about regional treatment costs, there's an indication of the town's share of the water volume, town's share of the wastewater volume. Those are the town's share of the total treatment the total volume of water and sewer used in Niagara, or just in Fort Erie?
No, you're right. That is the total of all municipalities using the region system.
So what is the significance of that, if any?
In this case, for example, the 3.09% increase in proportionate share of the water, in 2016, the town was responsible for 8% of all water used of the region. And in 2017, the rate is 8.26%. So that's where we get that 3.09%. But because each of the region's billing amounts has a fixed component, we attract, therefore, a larger amount of their fixed charge based on our use.
So we have about 7% of the population. And what would the wastewater volume be, our share of the total waste? You say it's going to increase by 6.74%. What, if, do you have the figure there as to what it
I do, yes. In 2016, the region passed their bylaws with the town, noting the town at 9.58%. The 2017 budget for the region uses 10.23% for the town.
So in terms, we have the only, I believe we have the only dedicated treatment facilities in the region within our municipality. In other words, I don't think any other municipality has dedicated.
Mr. Walsh?
Maybe the Niagara, maybe the Chippewa treatment plant.
Port Colborne is on their own as well.
And we have one water treatment, two wastewater treatment facilities. So is the calculation of Mr. Jansen, is the allocation by the region, does that seem to be a fair approach for them to take? In other words, they take all of their total fixed costs and allocate those costs among the various municipalities. Is that a fair approach?
I think, to be sincere, seeing as we have some of the same pricing we give to our customers, I think it would be fair. It wouldn't be perfect, but it was something that the area municipalities had to decide together. So that pricing structure is, I would say, is fair.
This would be something that you and the other area treasurers talk about. So you haven't been able to persuade your colleagues for a lesser amount, apparently, for Fort Erie. What if we sent more of you?
Further questions, Your Worship?
I do. With respect to, on page 14, there's a reference to town expenses and other revenues. And there's a reference to a decrease in revenues from regional grants. The town of Fort Erie was successful in getting several CSO grants last year, but I suppose they don't all necessarily factor into the water and wastewater budget, or do they?
I believe they all do. The way we would budget for those is we don't include grant revenues such as those unless they're assured at this point. So in the case of the 2016 grant revenues, those would be contributing at this point to our surplus, a rare surplus, as I mentioned, but they would all be water and wastewater in nature.
So we did quite well last year, 2016. I think we received an inordinate amount of the total CSO allocation by the region, from my reading.
You know what that number was, Mr. Jim?
On the operating side, I believe it was in the neighborhood of $130,000, and capital certainly was much more, although those projects are still, many of them are ongoing in nature.
So any grants that we apply for and receive in 2017 will be additional revenues to what we're budgeting?
That's correct.
And then just on page 17, with respect to the master plans, these are currently underway, and when they're completed, then we'll have a much better understanding of the condition of our system and where work needs to be done.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes, through you, Mr. Chair. That's correct. The water distribution master plan is nearly complete. We can expect a presentation in February from the consultant on that. The wastewater master plan, council will receive an administrative report in January for the award of that consultant assignment.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Your Worship.
I think. Yeah, if I could, I just want to delve a little bit more into this base charge, consumption charge. And on page 26, there's some information relative to what we have as a base charge and what NAGRA, the average is. We're at 60. 2017 budget will get us to 58. The proposal is down to 54. And someplace in the report, there was a reference to, actually quite prosaic, it was a reference to the divergence in philosophies, former philosophy and current philosophy. And I was just wondering if, in relation to the installation of water meters, which would permit municipalities to have a base rate, consumption rate dichotomy. And I'm just wondering if you have any comments on that, or maybe what your thinking was about this, these divergent philosophies.
Mr. Jansen?
The one section did deal with the strategy to move from 60% to 50%. I think that's probably the most relevant section in the report on that. And what I would comment on that is that if municipalities price their utilities based on the way costs are actually borne by the municipalities, it would be much higher than 60% for the base. So we are going in an opposite direction of what in a perfect world where we would be prioritizing our base charges. Again, back to the diagram of whether it's a five-member family with higher consumption or a single home, the costs of those systems are relatively high in the fixed nature. So we're going in the opposite direction than what the costs would say, but that is to be more aligned with what's typically happening both in the region and in the province.
So that makes it more, I would think it would make it more difficult for people in your position to try to prepare a budget, because you're guessing on if 42% is consumption going then to 46%, and the target says between 30, or the report says the target's 35 to 40, that means 65 to 60% of the bill comes from unreliable usage from year to year. But there are other benefits to having meters, which we'll get into when we talk about the report. I'm fine now, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moving on, are there any other members with council? Councillor Lubberts, Councillor McDermott gave me the wave off. So, go ahead, Councillor Lubberts.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Through you to Mr. Jansen, on slide 11, there's the debt charges are in there of just of 2%. What is a comfortable position to be in for a municipality as far as debt charges for water and wastewater?
Through the chair to Council of Lubberts, couple things there. I mean, the province does set upper limits on what municipalities can borrow. We're well below that limit. But the other thing, as I did mention during capital as well, is that we prefer to save our debt capacity for new capital and growth capital. So certainly those days are coming ahead as well. And in doing that, it just attributes the costs to those that benefit from the assets. So we do clearly have room for increased debt. Of course, there is the related operating impacts of those on the operating budget in terms of the principal and interest payments as well, but we do have capacity and we do have some comfort with that.
Thank you very much, and through you, Mr. Chair. The reason I asked that question is a few months ago we got a report on water and wastewater, and in the report there were some comments made about municipality as being overcharged $500,000 a year because of this extraneous flow or whatever it was. And I was commenting on it that evening, and I was asked by the mayor if we could bring that up during budget deliberations. So here we are during budget deliberations, and I hope you recall the report. I can't remember the number of the report, but if we have $500,000, I think that number was correct, wouldn't it be more beneficial for the town to identify those spots where we could actually save on the $500,000 and create a debt? Because the savings from the debt will pay for the debt, rather. The savings from the overcharge will offset this overcharge. And I think what I'm trying to say is no different than what we did with street lighting. We borrowed the money, or we paid for having the street lights replaced, knowing full well that the savings going to LED will offset the cost of putting them in. And I didn't see anything in here in the report at all that even looked at that $500,000 overcharge. Could you comment on that?
Through the chair to Council Lubritz. The $500,000 that was brought up during budget guidance and during the capital budget was with respect to the annual strategic increase to capital contributions. Is that the $500,000 you're referring to? Because I'm wondering if it may otherwise be the reconciliation charges that you were thinking of, because with what you're saying, you're correct in that if we could find short-term works to be done that would result in offsetting savings, certainly there would be an interest of staff to do that. I think my comment with respect to that would be that the infrastructure services is increasing their monitoring and detection budgets and doing more with zone metering, things like that, that hopefully can identify opportunities like that, and so that we can be more strategic and targeted with areas that we can improve, potentially even using debt if we could find direct savings that we believe could be realized.
Yes, thank you very much, and through you, Mr. Chair. I understand that everybody's looking at this, but do we have anything in place? Like, we're not hearing anything, we're not seeing anything. I mean, tonight we're looking at all the numbers and the fixed costs and variable costs and all the other things, but I'm not seeing anything in here where we're addressing the actual overcharges or paying for water that we're not using.
The grants that we are hoping to include, actually, we did include the Clean Water and Wastewater Fund grant, and those are going towards our highest priority water and wastewater infrastructure assets. And the other thing to keep in mind is that in regards to the slide that commented on our master plans, is that once those plans are complete in the next year, we'll have a better indication of how to best prioritize and possibly increase our capital program where possible, including debt.
Thank you very much. And speaking of the master plan, that's where I was going to go with that. Also, is there something in the master plan or in the RFP, the request for these consultants to look into that and identify these hot spots, or for staff to increase their complement? I see here we're bringing in some new staff, but I don't know that staff is actually going to be looking at trying to reduce this $500,000 that the consumer is paying for, and we're not using the water.
Mr. Walsh, could you comment on utilization of staff?
Well, through Mr. Chair, the master plan doesn't speak to what the staff should or should not be doing. It's guided more towards what we need to do on a capital basis to support development and support life cycle replacements of the infrastructure.
So this budget isn't addressing the $500,000. That's basically where I'm going at. We're going to do a master plan. The master plan is going to be looking at replacing old system, but it's not identifying where we're... I mean, we could replace an old system that might not be leaking as bad as another system that could save us a lot of money.
Mr. Walsh?
They are taking a look at our leakage index, and although I haven't seen a draft of the report, it is in the scope of the report that they are to come up with a strategy for locating leakage through zone metering, which we are beginning to implement with the replacement of the Dominion Road water main. So it is covered a little bit. With respect to the $500,000 figure, they are also producing a life cycle cost analysis for us, so we can determine exactly what our capital contribution should be over the long term.
Councilor Lubitz?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I guess through you to Mr. Walsh. Is there any type of equipment town could use that we don't have that would expedite the location of these leaks or infiltrations?
Through you, Mr. Chair, we are retaining a consultant. We don't have the equipment in-house. We are retaining a consultant. We've got a $20,000 item in the proposed budget to do a leak detection survey. They have fantastic equipment themselves, and they're the experts at it. Certainly, there is equipment we can purchase, but our staff are tapped right now.
Councilor Lubitz?
Would it be cost beneficial to have someone come in and with that equipment to detect this, and then we could focus more on the infiltration and the leaks rather than just replacing because it's old?
Through you, Mr. Chair, that's one of the components we're going to be looking at. They'll identify where the leaks are. We will address those leaks, and if the leaks are due to a deficient water main in material or construction, we'll address it through the capital program. If it's a one-off leak where it's a leaky valve that needs to be tightened up, we'll do that work in-house.
And that there is all going to be part of this consultant coming in?
They'll identify the leaks for us. They won't actually fix them.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Chair recognizes Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to make a couple of comments with respect to this budget in front of us tonight. I think it's really great planning. I like where you're going with this. I like the fact that there's a forecast in 2018 to 2022 that the approximate increase would be 1.75% based on page 34. I just want to say, because I don't get an opportunity to see you often, Mr. Boutin, but as you know, in the summertime, your team was out handling a rupture that happened on the corner of Thunder Bay and Windmill Point Road, and I was so impressed. They were amazing. They were hard at work. They worked as a team. They delivered great customer service to the residents who stopped in and inquired, and even the residents that weren't part of that area that stopped in. They took the time to explain things, and they were very diligent and hardworking and focused on the repairs. And even when they completed, and I have to say it was on Canada Day, so while we were enjoying our day off, they were hard at work repairing the water mains. You have a great team. So thank you very much for your hard work, and thank you for this budget to you and Mr. Walsh. It's a great budget, and I like where it's going. Thank you.
Any other further questions or comments? Yes, Councillor McDermott.
Yes, for you, Mr. Chair, to Mr. Walsh. I guess it's pretty clear that unless we really do reduce the infiltration by replacing old infrastructure and such. It's really the only way we're going to get down to a point of where wastewater rates are going to be reasonable. Would you agree with that?
Reasonable is relative, but yes, I do agree with that, Mr. Chair.
I know from the taxpayers that called me, as they always feel between a rock and a hard place, and I feel just as frustrated by being a counselor, that, you know, we really have little input in how to deal with this problem, because each and every year, wastewater and water rates go up. Now, I'm all for this budget. I agree with Councillor Butler, and the work that we do is way ahead of the curve. But the only way we solve these problems is by continuing to do what we're doing now, and that is a targeted approach to the very oldest and the leakiest infrastructure that we have. And even then, it's going to take us a good while to do that. You know, I think a lot of people in this town that have water meters in their house thought that actually they were going to, if they conserved their water, that their rates would be lower. And it was under the wrong impression. And I really apologize to the taxpayers that, you know, this is like similar to electric rates. You know, you think you're going to be metered, it's all going to be good until you start paying the billions of dollars of misappropriation of funds, and then you add that to your fund. But I think under the circumstances of what we have and what we're doing, I believe Mr. Walsh's group has targeted where we have to fix things. We're probably never going to get away from increases until such time as we get that done. And I think that we have to make that targeted effort to keep keep that investment going. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McDermott. Councillor Zenko.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just further to what Councillor McDermott had noted, through you to Mr. Jansen, I'm wondering if perhaps you can explain the relief program for the members listening in. That's designated towards seniors and lower income families to support them while we're making positive changes.
Yes, certainly. There is more information available through our website. I do have some stats available, although my computer wasn't working before the meeting, but that I can help. But really the main pieces of those programs is that for the seniors, it's a $100 rebate for eligible low-income seniors. So it's using the forms that they receive from CRA in terms of being on guaranteed income supplements. And as well, the Water Emergency Relief Fund is for low income as well. So, and that's worked in partnership with the regional or with the local Salvation Army. So those are programs that we have applications for. The due dates are, I believe, in the fall. I think the SURF program is an annual one with an October 31st deadline, but the information is available on our website and certainly here at Town Hall at the front customer service desk.
Thank you.
Anything further, Councillor Zinkel? No? Okay. His Worship would like to make additional comment.
Yeah, I did, Mr. Chair. Thank you. And I was going to save this till we got to the report, but we've been talking about extraneous flows and loss of water and what a challenge it is. It has been a challenge, and it's been a challenge really primarily if one looks at the chart that shows the number of customers we have per kilometer of pipe. Any municipality in our situation has the same challenges, because lost water isn't just water that's leaking out of the water lines. It's examples like builders who pay a flat fee to have water available for construction, who leave the water running overnight. And then to compound the problem, they allow the water, the excess water, to flow into the sewer. So not only are we losing water on the one hand, we're now treating treated water at the other end at our sewage treatment plant. So, you know, those are a couple of examples, and plus there's theft. I mean, there are unaccounted for usages of water, again, which are very difficult to track down. This has been an ongoing problem for Fort Erie since before water meters, and the water meter program was supposed to assist us with respect to at least identifying to some extent where we were losing water. And each year that's gone by, every council that's had to deal with this issue finds out about more technology. The staff puts in greater efforts to try to locate lost water or extraneous flows into our system. And we have an aging, long a series of water and sewer lines that we have to deal with. So we're absolutely correct. The best way to deal with the bulk, I think, of lost water would be to make sure that our water lines are in good shape. But there are certainly other ways that we can do that, and we need to tighten up that system. On the other side, on the extraneous flows, we have not just water, groundwater getting into our sewer lines, but they also get into the regional sewer trunk mains. And there are a couple of projects in Fort Erie this in 2017. One is relining of a sewer main on Central Avenue, and there's another one someplace in Fort Erie that escapes me right now, which will at least help us in terms of them tightening up their system. But I was alerted last week to the fact that when we have serious rainfall and surcharging of our sewers, I'm hoping this is correct because I'm going to say it publicly, that when sewer waters are directed towards Anger Avenue and then they're diverted to the river, which doesn't happen frequently, but it does happen, I'm advised that they're diverted after they go through the meter at the Anger Avenue treatment plant. So we're actually paying for water that to be treated that even the region isn't treating. Now that's not right. And so one of the things that I do think that we need to do when we get to the report, I will be asking that we request that the region audit their system within Fort Erie so that we at least have an understanding of what kind of infiltrations there are into their system, because they have no particular incentive to reduce the inflows unless they've got capacity issues, which they do not have. That's wrong. Sorry? Well, no, I think it would be helpful if we could get that clarified. But there are no capacity issues at Anger Avenue or at Crystal Beach. So I don't know what their incentive would be other than to protect the environment, which I mean, I'm going to give them credit for trying to move that forward. I do think that there are some CSO programs that we could probably stretch projects that we would have that I think could stretch the definition of the regional program, because anything that assists the region to reduce the amount of treatment at their water treatment facilities, I think is good for the region and it's definitely got to be good for us. So, I guess I was partially right, Councillor Nutt, so we'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Your Worship. Since everyone else has spoken to the presentation, I just had a few questions of the presentation. And starting on page 8, Mr. Jansen, and probably this is a question for either yourself or Mr. Walsh. The ongoing focus on leak detection, tracking, and repair programs. So we're doing the Catherine Street reconstruction. Last year during budget time, I had a quick glance at my notes. We talked about $1.3 million a year in infiltration into the water system. How much of an impact, can you put a dollar figure around the impact of the rehabilitation of Catherine Street and what estimated impact do you think it'll have on this year in lowering that number, Mr. Walsh?
We will be doing post-flow or post-construction flow monitoring in there. We did pre-construction. As we've heard tonight, the extraneous flow is very weather sensitive. So unless you get the exact same weather, you can't compare the exact same numbers. But we can get an indication out of the improvements to the system. We have 400 kilometers worth of sewer, and we're replacing 2 kilometers on Catherine Street directly. So in terms of percent, I don't think you're going to see a big improvement. This is a long-term program we have to embark on or have embarked on. But I will bring a report back to show what those numbers are.
Thank you very much. And just the purpose of asking that was if we can see what type of revitalization this creates and what the impact is, maybe we can better identify when we're working towards that 60 kilometers left, the cast iron pipe and clay pipe, on what the overall light at the end of the tunnel would be by just projecting that out. On slide 9, the recruitment of the DWQMS coordinator, you talked about people coming up that are potentially retiring, but we didn't really address the fact that we have so many subdivisions on the go and we are going to be adding so many more consumer accounts over the next 3 to 5 years. So in your budgeted positions, I understand that you're hiring this, you're looking for a supervisor. What's your anticipated headcount need over the next 5 years, or have you not taken an in-depth look at that yet, Mr. Walsh?
Mr. Chair, as you note, our headcount is very sensitive to the pressures of development. Fortunately, new subdivisions that come online, like most new equipment, doesn't need much work at the beginning. So it's down the road that we'll need additional complement. So the short term, I wouldn't see any increase in the water wastewater division.
That's a wonderful answer. I love that. Thank you. Yeah. No, that's a great answer. Mr. Jansen, on page 14, on slide 14, you talk about the WaterSmart grants and the decrease in grants from a regional level. Are you talking about all their grants, or is that just specific to ones that relate to water? I know that with the Catherine Street, we received a grant because it was a capital project, but you're not counting those types of grants inside of this, are you?
That comment was specifically with the Water Smart grant, which was used towards hydrant painting, and that program is no longer offered. So it was just that one. The CSO grants, they're not finalized yet at this point, and we don't know. It is a competitive process, and there's applications with respect to that, so those are not included. So that decrease is just $25,000 related to Water Smart.
Thank you very much. And on slide 15, Mr. Jansen, the 15,000 and 21,000, are those the same numbers as 2015 that came in 2016 and are projected for 2017?
Yes, this program hasn't changed in a few years. I can't recall it being different, actually. But we do monitor progress, and that's why I did report Of the $36,000 to date, I think in 16 we've spent about $29,000.
Understanding that the demographics in Fort Erie have a higher concentration of senior population, have you dragged out the projections for the next 5 years, and are these funds going to be sufficient to meet the demands and needs of the community over the next 5 years?
I don't know. We haven't gone over, from what I recall, in recent years. So the senior utility one is the one that we administer directly. We haven't factored that in. That is something that council could consider increasing in future years, though, related to that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jansen. Bear with me here. Some of these questions were answered already. So, On slide 34, you talked about the projections, and my colleague Councillor Passero had brought it up in 2014 conspicuously. There was a 0% increase. My concern is that the 2018-2022 1.75 is an under-forecasted projection, and very much like Councillor Passero had mentioned, I would be interested in looking at adding a full 1% to that. If you've looked, if you take out 2014 only once in the past 5 years, other than that, have we only ever been below 2.75? Comments or thoughts on that?
No, we would, particularly on the capital side, we would find that a strategic increase. As I did mention during my presentation, that would reflect only current base levels, and there was a slide that in particular highlighted the unknowns related to the regional treatment costs. That's largely been the larger amounts that we've seen in the last few years. This is projecting more of what the town itself can control and predict compared to some of those unknowns. But certainly as it relates to meeting our capital longer-term objectives, that would be wise.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jansen. That concludes all the questions I have. Does anybody else have any last comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to reports. Can I get a mover for CBC's Councillor Zanko? Thank you very much. CBC 022017, fees and charges, is now on the floor. Comments or questions? Your Worship?
Yeah, I did. I note that the unmetered water fee for construction, which I was just referring to, is going to be increased by about not quite 50%. And I'm wondering whether the treasurer feels that that's adequate, or Mr. Waltz feel that is an adequate fee, bearing in mind our experience.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Chair, through you to the mayor, we've taken a close look at actual conditions out there. So that's based on our best guesstimate right now on what we think constructors are using. The increase is primarily to account for flows into the sanitary system. When a subdivision is built, you should have a nice tight system, and theoretically there should be zero flow into the sanitary system. The grants crews went out and checked one of our brand new subdivisions this spring while three houses were constructed, and found that the system was flowing at about 50% after a rainfall. So whether it's new or old, we have issues.
So when we find that type of thing happening, is there anything that the building department can do?
Through you, Mr. Chair, in this case, we traced the flow to two of the houses. They had the drain open in the basement. Upon closure of those drains, like it says they're supposed to do in their building permit, the flow stopped. It's unfortunate we can't be everywhere at one time to catch these issues.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm wondering if there are no penalties that can be allocated if someone violates the terms of the building permit?
Mr. Jennings is here in the audience. Maybe he has a more direct answer to that question.
For you, Mr. Chair, the town does have a water wastewater bylaw that does have penalties in that, so we could do part ones tickets.
Well, I guess I'm just wondering whether it makes any sense for us to do that periodically. I mean, I don't know if it's a big issue or not a big issue, but I know that sometimes it's an issue, and it's like everything else, when someone doesn't follow the rules. I mean, the permit is issued on the premise that everyone will act in good faith, and when they don't, or
they're negligent in how they manage their construction site, why should everybody else have to pick up the cost? I guess that's my question, and that may be an unfair question to Mr. Jim.
This hasn't been enforced typically in the past. When building staff are on site, we do see open sewers. We have them close it. But as Mr. Walsh said, we can't be there all the time. So it becomes an enforcement issue, and if we want to dedicate the staff to that.
So I guess I'm thinking we don't really know the extent of the problem because we're not there all the time. And I think warnings are good. I think that sometimes this is just accidental or unintentional. And so I think warnings are good. But I would like to think that if we run into situations where there's repetition, that we would do something of an act of nature.
That's something we could do. Something to keep in mind with that, though, it's going to be increased cost for the builders because they don't have a water outlet. They're going to have to put pumps in, run generators, et cetera, until hydro is available on the sites.
Well, I get that, but I'm having difficulty understanding why they can't follow the rules that they're supposed to follow with respect to, you know, the water that they're using or the integrity of the sanitary sewer system.
Thank you, Mr. Jennings. You have additional questions, Your Worship? Okay. Are there any other councillors wish to comment? Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Going through the report, just curious as to if I'm reading this correctly, and I guess it's the first page of the Appendix 1. It would be page 8 of the report. Building permits, planning and development services, and then we've got building permits that goes down to pools. And is the public pool user fee $370 for this year? Is that like to use? Do we have a public pool that we're charging people to use?
Ms. Dulch?
Or is that above ground
pool? Sorry, Mr. Jennings.
Ground pool, or is that?
Yes, through you, Mr. Chair. The public pools are pools that are regulated under the Building Code Act, and that's for the construction of new public pools. That would be the building permit fee for that application.
Oh, if someone were to build one?
That's correct.
All right, okay. All right, thank you.
Councilor Lubberts?
Is there anything for above ground pool? Do they have to have a permit for that? We have in ground and above ground. Nothing
yes.
Above.
These fees that are listed on Index 1 are the fees that are showing a 5% increase or a non-standard increase. We are proposing the 1.8% increase to the above ground public or above ground private pools.
Oh, okay.
Right. In-ground pools are showing a slightly different increase.
Okay, thank you.
Anything further, Councilor Lubberts? I'd like to pass the chair to Councilor Passero, if I might, as Vice Chair. I have some questions regarding this report.
Go ahead, Councilor Nutt.
Thank you very much. Through you to Ms. Dulch or Mr. Jennings. I know that last year we kind of set out guidance that we didn't want to take huge leaps in our building costs yet. I'm looking at the report and they're far exceeding the 1.7 cost of living adjustment that Canada's projected to come in at for 2016. So some of these fees are in excess of, well, $80 to $100 in increases.
Mr. Jennings, some comments on how we're setting these rates?
Yes. For the building permit fees, we were looking at a 5% increase on the building permit fees. If Councillor Nutt could show which one is showing the higher increase.
Well, they were all noticeably above cost of living adjustment, so I'm just generally looking as I wanted to know what metric you use. Did you use 5% across the board? Did you tackle them individually? Because, for example, the deeming bylaw was $301. Now it's $557. So was there extra work that goes into a deeming bylaw, or can you explain why there's such a significant jump of more than 5%?
Ms. Stoltz?
Through you to the counselor. The deeming bylaw, we've done it based on cost recovery. So we did an analysis on the time staff spends, and that's where that fee came from, as well as we used a comparable amongst the municipalities in the Niagara region, and we usually try to stay around the average cost. In this case, it varied from about $200 to $1,600 in the cost. Ours wouldn't be that $1,600 cost only because we do more of a simple application. We don't go to council and committee. We just go straight to council, so it does reduce the cost. But we are just putting that fee forward for cost recovery.
Thank you very much for that excellent explanation. Just my own comment on this, I'd rather be at the bottom of the fee structure than at the top or in the middle. But thank you very much. That answers the question.
Further comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll turn the chair back to Councillor Nutt.
No, you keep the chair.
Oh, do I? Oh, that's right. Okay. Going forward then, seeing nothing further, it's on the floor. All those in favor of the recommendations in CBC 02 2017, that's carried. Turn the chair back to Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Councillor Passero. Can I have a mover for report CBC-03-2017, Councillor Butler, which is the waste, water and wastewater operating budget combined? That report is now on the floor for a comment. Your Worship?
Some of us received an email last week, from one of the residents, who had apparently read this report, which I found admirable, that a resident would take the time to do that, and express some skepticism about the forecasted increases from 2018 to 2022 at 1.75, bearing in mind that we're projecting 3.93 this year, it was 4.74 last year, and I'm wondering whether Mr. Jansen has had an opportunity to contemplate that and give an explanation that residents would be able to follow.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes, I'm not sure if you did receive my reply or not, but I did comment on that. And fortunately, my computer is also failing me tonight. So I did have a few comments on that. I think a couple of which would have been expressed in the presentation in terms of the forecasts really admittedly only addressing the base services. So when we express a number like the 1.75 over those forecast years, we do stress that there are a lot of unknown factors that are difficult to estimate beyond that percentage. So for in the case of the reconciliation charge, we have included a forecasted charge of $500,000 in 2018. We haven't included an amount in 19 and beyond, in part because that could swing to a credit position, and we don't want to it's very difficult for us to forecast. So in the absence of that, we try to stick to more which the amounts that we can predict. So that's in part why that has happened. And as well, I think part of the response was to demonstrate the difference between what the regional treatment costs, how they impact the rate increase compared to our own town costs. While we do use our rate stabilization reserves to mitigate some of the impacts, if we look at 2017 by way of example, town costs, if you include the supplementary position, I think the increase is in the neighborhood of about 1.5%. So certainly below the cost of living index and close to what we were aiming to submit from our budget guidance. So I think those were some of the main concerns expressed.
So if I might, Mr. Chair, if the council decides in any of the years between 2018 and 2022 to do what we've done on the capital side with respect to the general levy and capital programs and increase the amount that we allocate to reserves for infrastructure renewal and even used 1% as an example, that could make that 2.75% unless there are other savings found within the system. I did want to ask a question or at least point out the anomaly that we've got, which I think Mr. Jansen has made reference to before. On page 6 of the report, talks about the base charges for the average household for 2017 will be 58% of the monthly bill because the average household has relatively low household consumption. So the lower consumption, the more we need to rely upon the base allocation. If we reduce that, we try to reduce the base amount, base charge, down to 50% or who knows, get into 35 to 40% range, that means we're going to have to increase the consumption rate. Correct?
Yes.
And human nature being what it is, if we increase the consumption rate, people are going to use even less water, which means that our base rate as a percentage of the total bill is going to keep going back up. So we've got the unenviable predicament of trying to get our base rate down as a percentage of the total bill while discouraging the use of consumption, which is what we're trying to rely more upon. So how do other municipalities manage this? How do other municipalities come in at, say, 40% because they would be faced with the same predicament? Is it that their people, their residents are less frugal than residents of Fort Erie?
Through the chair, it's a good question. Certainly the risk increases by placing more reliance on revenues that depend entirely on volume. So, but in short, yeah, I wouldn't have an answer of what other municipalities, how they approach that.
I think I'd be interested in knowing what municipalities similar to ours, that is municipalities that have a low number of, services per kilometer of water line, what their ratios are, because I think that's a more accurate reflection of what we're doing. Because if we're being lumped in with St. Catharines, Grimsby, any of the municipalities that have high density, really throws that whole thing out of proportion. Part of the problem I think in Fort Erie is that when the metering program was sold to the municipality in the 1994, I guess it was. It was that everybody was going to save money because we're going to have lower water bills. And that was the pitch. We're going to have lower water bills. And I had misgivings at the time because it's been borne out. If you charge people, they will use less unless they've got lots of money or they're not paying for it. So we're in that predicament. And I think that it would be very helpful, now that we have a communications coordinator, it would be very helpful for us to try to get a better explanation to our residents of why we're in the situation that we're in and the things that we're doing to try to change that, and the comparison of not just the water and sewer bills, but also where we are in terms of the tax burden, including water and sewer. Hope that we do that going forward, because we don't have a great deal of latitude when 60% of our bill is regional treatment costs. That means we've got 40% that we have to manage on with large infrastructure spread out over a great geographic area that we have to maintain. And yes, it is higher than people in other municipalities pay. It's certainly higher than they would pay in any of the large municipalities that are dense. But this is why provincial government doesn't want municipalities to expand their urban boundaries, because they want municipalities to take advantage of the infrastructure they've already got so that there will be more people per kilometer of water and sewer lines. And many people in Fort Erie don't want to buy into the extent that the provincial government wants to go. I don't think any of us want to go to 80 per hectare. So we need to somehow make sure. No, that's fine. Okay, so I can't speak for everyone. I'll just speak for myself. But if we want to keep Fort Erie looking somewhat the way it looks now, these are the challenges that we're faced with. And I do think we need to take advantage of the fact that we have a very talented communications coordinator. And if we can direct her mind to this, I think that she can help us get across some of the information that we're trying to get across. The staff, and I do want to compliment you, Mr. Jansen, and your staff and the public works staff for putting together a very good budget presentation and reports to us. We all understand it now. We've had the benefit of spending some time with you. This is now our third budget, and we're getting the hang of it. But many residents, they see one thing, and that is the number that represents how much more they're going to have to pay. And it's discouraging, particularly for people who have minimal income or very little ability to meet those additional expenses. So those are my thoughts on this, Councillor or Mr. Chair, and I'll give up the floor.
Councillor Passer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Jansen, for the WRF program, you commented earlier that we've spent about $10,000 of the $15,000. What happens to any remaining dollars in that account on a year-to-year basis?
There is no reserve that relates to that, so those would be part of the overall surplus or deficit for the year.
If council is in agreement, I'd like to know what would have to be done to ensure that those dollars are rolled over year to year. I anticipate a crisis coming with prices of other utilities looming, and I think at some point the $15,000 may not be enough. And I'm thinking that if we're budgeting $15,000 a year, I'd like to see those dollars go back into a reserve for that program that we could draw on for future years versus just into the bigger pie to be consumed by a bunch of other things. But I don't know how other councillors feel, but that's something I can bring up outside of the budget session at a corporate services meeting upcoming. Thank you.
Are there any other questions, comments?
I forgot that I was contemplating maybe adding something to this these recommendations, and that had to do with possibly requesting that the region conduct an audit of their water, wastewater systems in Fort Erie. I don't know how, but maybe I'd like to hear from Mr. Cookett on whether he thinks that's prudent right now or whether that should be the subject of a separate request of staff.
Through you, Chair, to the Mayor, I think that would be better in a future meeting or request, not part of this presentation.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? That passes. And I will turn the chair back over to His Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nutt, and thank you, councillors, for this evening's discussion on these issues. The date of the next meeting is January the 11th, 2017, when we will receive the library and the EDTC budgets. After that, on January 25th, we'll be looking at the general levy and operating budget. And so at this point in time, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Councillor Nutt, I see you're
eager. Yes, Your Worship.
You're eager.
The Council and Budget Committee meeting for the Town of Fort Erie hereby adjourns at 7:54 p.m.
All those in favor? Unanimous. Thank you.